Good morning. How you guys doing? I'm thankful to be here. I'm excited to share with you guys. Every once in a while, I get to do both the worship, which I enjoy, and the teaching, and I think it's possible that for the next 2 weeks I do neither. So this is just putting everything in 1 week for me. Isaac, would you mind getting the doors for me, please? All right, well, we're in Genesis 22. We did Genesis 22 last weekend for Easter. And we're going to do it again. It was so fun. We'll do it again. No. It is the climax of Abraham's life, and so there's just too many wonderful things to get in 1 week. So we're going to do Genesis 22 for 2 weeks. Since I read it to you last week, this week I'll have you guys quote it from memory back to me rather than read it. If only our minds worked like that. We'll just read it verse by verse and give some comments rather than read it all the way through. But let me pray and we'll start. God, it is beautiful. God, to be in your presence, it is right. It is fitting. It is good. It is grand. God, you say you're a teacher. You say you're the one that challenges. God, you say you're the one that exhorts. God, you say you're the one who guides. God, you say you're the one who disciples us. So we come before you, God, this morning as your learners. God, show us the way to go. God, help us put our head on straight. Give us clear thoughts. And grant us and help us. God, I thank you for our celebration last week. God, if you're rising from the dead, now show us how to walk. God, show us how to walk in newness of life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Genesis 22. We'll start with the first few verses. It says this. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son, Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey, while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. All right, stop there. There's some really interesting things that jump out to me about the Christian life in this passage. And the first one is right off the bat. When we think about living a life as a Christian, we have to come to grips with the fact that God tests. He says he tested Abraham. We've walked through Job. He tested Job. He tests. He tries. Right? He proves. He approves. God wants to approve your faith. He wants to take your faith that's on the inside and pull it out, so that everyone can see it, so that you can see it, so that he wants out into reality. So the faith inside you is not good enough. That's not what God's after. God wants it out so he can approve it. And he puts us in circumstances and asks us to do things so our faith can be on display. God tests. He will test you. He will test me. It is the Christian life. Not the only thing in the Christian life, but it is in the Christian life. In Abraham's life, you can see it building to this point, right? He's had experiences where he has seen God come through when he's failed and be faithful to him. He's seen times where he has obeyed and there has been a blessing into his life, a reward. And it's now, in God's building, he's building to this. Now there's a test of what he knows about God. And I look at the passage and I go, wow, if this is the father of faith, if this is the one my faith should model after, because this is the man of unwavering faith, then if that's who my faith should model after, then probably some similar things will happen to me. God will ask me to do strange things. And God may test faith. He will, if he's our model. One of the things I think is interesting is we get to see it's a test because we get to read the Bible. But Abraham didn't know. Abraham didn't know it was a test. All he knew is God was asking him to do this really hard thing. And sometimes I think we don't cooperate with God very well because God puts us in situations where there's a little stress. There's a little pressure. And we go, man, I need to relieve this pressure. This is really hard. And so we go and we run away from the hard thing. Instead of asking God, do you want me to stay in this situation? Do you want me to walk through this hard thing? We just assume easier is what God wants. So God will test you. Are you ready? Are you getting ready for the time, for the test? None of the other times in Abraham's life did God say it was a test. But there will be. God will teach you about himself. He'll give you experiences about himself. You'll know things about God. And then he will put you in situations where you're supposed to walk in them. In those understandings about who God is. Is the test of obedience is coming. The test of how good you think God is coming. It's coming. What if one of the goals for us from God, God as the discipler of us, God's goal, what if one of his goals is to get us to absolute surrender? God wants to get us to a point in our faith where he can put his hand on one of the biggest fears in our life and we'll still trust him. Right? Is that not what Jesus did? Right? He's in the Garden of Gethsemane and it is really hard and he's getting a glimpse of what he is going to have to do to bear sin and maybe he's looking down into hell itself, but whatever it is, he understands this is going to be no fun and he goes, God, I don't want to do it, but I trust you. And I go, that's the guy I'm following. That's the guy whose life I'm modeling after. If a test walked out for Abraham and God asked Abraham to do a really hard thing, he asked Jesus to do a really hard thing, he'll ask me to do a really hard thing. Those are our examples. So what if the surrender that he wants us to walk out in our life, to getting to absolute surrender, what's the process? It's a process. Abraham walked in several things where his faith seemed to build a little. There were things he seemed to get. There were places where he seemed to, as we've seen, step into some of his identities of who God says he was. It was a process. It's a process for us. God has a place. He's bringing us. For Abraham, it was really hard for him to send Ishmael away. He loved that kid. He loved that kid. It was his only child for 13 years. He sent Ishmael away. That marked his life. That was hard. And now God puts his finger on Isaac. You know, Jim Elliot, my first biography I ever read was Shadow of the Almighty by Elizabeth Elliot about her husband, Jim, who was a martyr in Ecuador. 7 years before he was martyred, he wrote this. One does not surrender a life in an instant. That which is lifelong can only be surrendered in a lifetime. So the Christian life is a process of yielding myself in trust and yielding myself in surrender. And the more I know about God, the more God asks me to surrender in this area and in this area. And as I've walked through life, I go, you know, I thought I was surrendered over here, but I got some more surrendering to do here. I've got some more trusting to do here. And the process, part of the process of the Christian life is I know things about God and then entrust myself to the things I know and yield new areas to him. I want you to think about Abraham's wrestlings. God tells him to sacrifice Isaac, and it's like, did I do anything wrong? This doesn't make any sense. This is my most beloved son. You're telling me to take a knife and kill him and then light him on fire. And I love verse 3. Early in the morning, he gets up and sets off. It's just obedience. You don't have any indication that he doubted for a moment. But we know he must have. Right? We know that was a hard night. Right, so you read the story. He's taking the wood. And where's the sacrifice, Dad? And then verse 5. Let's do verse 5. He said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. And we get a clue about where Abraham is. Where he's in this place where he thinks maybe Isaac is coming back to the servants too. It's not, I will come back. It's not vague. He says, we will come back. And if you read Hebrews, Hebrews says that Abraham reasoned in his mind that God could raise him from the dead. Why did he get there? Because God made a promise. God made a promise. And that was a big deal for Abraham. God made a promise. God doesn't lie. If a multitude of people are going to come through Isaac, then Isaac has to have kids. So he can't die. There was a promise. So I have in one hand, God has told me Isaac, multitudes are coming from Isaac. God has told me on the other hand, to kill Isaac. And he doesn't have any kids yet. What do I do with those two pieces of information? And he goes, they are both true. God's promise is true. His commandment is true. I am going to follow. And so he goes, if those things are true, what are the options I have left? And he comes up with that God's going to raise him from the dead. No one had been raised from the dead yet. That isn't a thing in the Bible up to this point. It's amazing. That's faith in a promise. That's faith in God said it, and so it's true. That's obeying and unwavering faith. Makes a good story, doesn't it? Abraham's life makes a good story. That's a story of promise, a story of faith. And I think about, what's my story? What's your story? Does it include staking your life on the promises of God? Because Abraham staked his life, staked his happiness, staked his relationship with Sarah, staked everything on the promise of God. We have a whole revelation of the Bible. What do you want to walk out in your life in unwavering faith to these words? To God's word. Has God put on your heart anything to do? All right, let's do verse 6. Keep going. We'll go 6 through 8. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father, yes, my son, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two went on together. God will provide. A lot of translations translate it, "God will provide." You can translate it, "God will see to it." And later, he names the place. He names that place, "God will provide." That's the point of this story. That if you trust God, God will provide. That's the point. He may ask you to do something unreasonable, but whatever God's called you to do, he will provide. If you leave it to him, you ask him, follow him, he'll provide. What do you need? You might have to wait. Abraham had to wait for a son. But that's a decision. The decision is, okay, that's the point of the story, to provide. Am I going to bank on God to provide? You know, a really tangible one. There's lots of things that God provides, but a really tangible one is finances. It's got lots of promises about provision, lots of promises about finances. Do you stake your greenbacks on those promises? If you do, you're probably generous. Right? The faith results in action. It results in helping people in need. It probably results in tithing to a church. It has results, whatever those are. God will provide. He'll provide a spiritual need. See, God asks us in Scripture to do things. Sometimes he asks us personally to make sacrifices for him. And if you don't trust him, if you don't live a life of faith, you won't be used of God in the world. There's a blessing that you forfeit. The one who surrenders to him is blessed. And God gives good, and God blesses his kids, and there's so many things that are just grace all over us. But it is also true, God blesses and uses those who will trust what he says. All right. Verse 9. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. I love God. Abraham's so awesome. All through this story of Abraham, he's building altars and building altars and building altars, right? And then in the hardest point, in the hardest obedience, he's still worshiping God, right? Like he's talking about, God, you have a good character, and God, you don't lie, and God, you love, and God, you are all these things. He's still making altars. He's still worshiping, even when God has got him in a really hard situation. I love it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your son. For now I know that you fear God." Abraham does this great act of faith. Abraham does this thing where he obeys God because he believes. And what God deduces from that is that I know that you fear me. Now, faith, the fear of God and faith are sort of the same thing. Two sides of the same coin. See, you, if there is someone you think is God, not someone, if you think God is real, and he's powerful, and he's awesome, and he's majestic, and he has things that he wants you to walk in, excuse me. So you obey. You fear God because of those attributes. But there's another place where you have faith, and I have faith in God's mercy. I have faith in God's compassion. I have faith. So they're both a conviction of things that are unseen. Right? They're either I have faith in the mercy and love and wonder of God, or I have fear of the awesomeness and holiness and bigness and majesty of God. And so both are looking at God and having a right response from the attributes that God says he is. So fear of God, faith in God, two sides of the same coin. So we can see, because Abraham trusted and obeyed, that he had a view of God that was right. He understood. He understood something about God. He saw something that wasn't real. He lived in light of the character of God. And so God goes, "Now I know that you fear me. And so I will, because you know I fear you," we'll get to this, I haven't read this part, but he says, I will bless you. I will use you in the world. I will use you to bring about the salvation of the world. All right. Let's see, how do I want to do this? Let's just read two more verses here. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." Yeah. You know, we're going to walk into the blessings that Abraham had here, but you know, there's something inside us when I look at Jesus is struggling and I look at Abraham doing crazy things of faith and being asked to sacrifice his son. When I look at those lives, I'm confronted a little bit with something in myself where I go, that's not what I want. I don't want that kind of hard obedience in my life all the time. I really don't want to surrender that much. I don't want to obey that much. I just want to believe. I just want to believe the right things of the gospel. I just walk in some of the beaches, obedience. I just want to be normal. I want to be normal. I don't want to be crazy. I don't want to be crazy zealous. I want to be normal. That's what I want. And I don't know if that's in you. As I thought about that, inside me, do I want this? Do I want that life of Abraham? As we've walked through it, I have thought, well, what's the alternative? I think the alternative is Lot. Lot obeyed a little. Lot had an understanding of God. Lot saw God do some things, but he wanted to be normal, so he moved into the city. He wanted to be comfortable. He moved into Sodom. He thought, he didn't think spiritually when he had necessarily had the choice between lands. And because he just wants to be normal, he gets sucked down in a culture one step at a time. And so I go, yeah. Like, if I just want to be normal, if I just want to just believe the right things, if I just don't want that crazy hard obedience, then I'm flowing down the Lot path. Because Lot didn't want to sacrifice. And I think about, are we in this church, are we looking for the easy life, or are we looking for the life of Abraham? And when we make our choices every day, we're choosing. This is you're choosing our choice. And I look at, I don't know what rises up in you, but what rises up in me is, I don't want to be Lot. I don't want to be Lot. I want to be Abraham. And I look at all of you and I go, I don't want you to be Lot. I want you to surrender and obey and believe and walk into all the trust and all the hard choices that God has, because I want the blessing of God that comes on the other side. I want you to know God, and I want to know Him. Verse 15. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. I'm going to read this last paragraph. I'll tell you what it means before I read it. Points God provides. He's going to say here that God's providing a wife for Isaac. He's saying, that's the point. God's providing for Abraham's kids. Sometime later, Abraham was told, Milcah is also a mother. She has borne sons to your brother Nahor, who's the firstborn. The brother, the names, skip to 23. Bethuel became the father of Rebekah. Milcah bore these eight sons to Abraham's brother Nahor. His concubine, whose name was Ruma, also had sons. There she is. God's providing. God's providing for the needs of Abraham's kid. But to go back up to the section we read, can you sense how pleased God is when you read that? It's almost like He's amazed. When you view God, don't view Him as so high, so sovereign, so always having a plan, that you don't believe that God responds to faith. Because He responds to faith. Responded to Abraham. And both are really true here, and you can't let go of that. God responds to you. To love. God responds to believe. To sacrifice. He responds to you so you can please him. Like, put that through your head. The guy that made the stars, guy that made me and everything and is currently making heaven, that I can get up today and I can please him? I can put a smile on his face? That's crazy! Let's please him. Let's please him. Let's do things for him because of love. As a result of what God said, or as a result of what Abraham did, God said, I have sworn by myself. Now, God doesn't swear very often. But when he does, it means something. When he does, it's serious. So God can't swear by any, there's nothing greater than God, so he can't swear by anything else. So he swears by himself, I swear I will do this. So as we're walking through the Abrahamic covenant, we're walking through this covenant that's walking through Scripture. It comes, this is it. It comes to its climax. The promise cannot get any more sure to Abraham. God is promising by himself, I will bless the world through you. In your seed, all the nations will be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. You know when he says, because you've done this? It's really strong. It's really strong in the Hebrew. In payment for which you have obeyed voice. There's no my. But in payment for which you have obeyed. It's crazy. God repays obedience. God repays obedience. If we were to walk in trust, if we were to walk in steps, if we were to live our lives out from the promises of God, he'll use us in the plan for the world. There'll be a great blessing right here. I just want to talk about one blessing that is true, because I think it's relevant. One of the blessings you get when you obey is assurance of the promise. So Abraham had, you know, this promise from God, but what did God give him when he obeyed? Well, he gave him more assurance of the promise he already told him. But it was stronger. Abraham was able to get it more. And when we obey, we get more assurance of the promise. So I was thinking about this, and I'm like, well, what are the promises that I don't know if I believe that make me a little bit anxious? Should I bank my life on this? Well, if I do, I think my faith becomes stronger. And then I believe more strongly the promise. I remember, this happened over and over again, but I remember one story where someone I know, they didn't believe that that you should go out and share the gospel. He didn't say you should just talk to people about the gospel, especially people you didn't know, that it was not something that God really wanted. But they were with a group of people that was going, and they just respected the faith of these people that they're going. They're trying to obey God, so I'm going to obey God too. I'm going to go with these people because I'm with them and I respect them. And so this person went. And they see someone come to Christ and followed up and joined a church and all of a sudden this person has more faith in the power of the gospel and in the power of God's word and the power of God to change and the Holy Spirit's role in evangelism, because they didn't feel like they knew anything. And all of a sudden there's more faith because there was obedience, even unsure obedience. My question, I'm going to make a comment before I ask my question. Because All right, here's my closing thought. What do you want? You want Lot or Abraham? You want weak faith? You want strong faith? Do you want surrender? Do you want hard obedience to flow out of your life? Or do you want to run from hard obedience? What do you want? Three questions I want you to think about. What promise does God want me to believe? What promise does God want me to believe? That's the first question. Second question, what step of obedience does God want me to make? That might also be relevant. What step of obedience does God want me to make? And thirdly, is there anything God wants you to surrender? Is there anything God wants you to surrender? While you're thinking about it, I'm going to read a verse, and I'm going to let you think about it even a little longer. I'm going to play a song, if I can find it. And I want you guys to think about it. And when you've answered that questions, or you have peace, or you're in a place where some of those questions are answered, then you could join in and sing if you wanted to. But just think about it, and if halfway through the song we're all singing, fantastic. But here's a verse I want to end with. I think this verse might be an allusion to this story, but I have no proof of that. Romans 8:32, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" God will provide. That's a lesson. Some of us think that God gave us his own son, and then God saved us in our darkest, our places of sin. We get to be adopted into his house and into his family, but we get into the house and we go to turn on the TV, and he goes, no. You can't touch the TV. And you go, I'm not gonna ask to like swim in the pool or to go upstairs or to that God doesn't really want to give me anything in the house. I'm just in it. I can't sit on the furniture. I can't open the fridge. This is ridiculous. If he adopted us and he loved us at the worst and he gave us his son, then when we're in the house, he goes, whatever in this fridge is yours, it's all peanuts compared to what I've already given. He'll provide. He's adopted into a father that provides for his kids. And that's a lesson that's all through Scripture. So think about those questions. What promises does God want you to believe? What step of obedience does God want me to make? And is there anything God wants me to surrender? I'll play a little bit and then we'll close. Still, soft, and quietly spoken voice that persistently calls my name and beckons my heart to come, and I come. And still soft and quietly spoken voice that persistently calls my name and beckons my heart to come, and I come, and I rest in the shield
of your love, and I rest in the wonder of your grace, and I rest in the shelter of your love, and I rest in the wonder of you. In the promise of you will rest for the weary soul, really sing, and all that is mine I reap for you, and I rest in the shelter of your love, and I rest in the wonder of your grace, and I rest in the shelter of your love, and I rest in the wonder of you, and I rest in the shelter of your love, and I rest in the wonder of your grace, and I rest in the shelter of your love, and I rest in the wonder of you.
Take all the old.
Take all the old and you make it new, and everything I give to you, and you're the hope that can pull me through. Hallelujah. And I rest in the shelter of your love, and I rest in the wonder of your grace, and I rest in the shelter of your love, and I rest in the wonder of you, and I rest in the shelter of your love, and I rest in the wonder of your grace, and I rest in the shelter of your love, and I rest in the wonder of you.
Well, Father, God, I thank you for your promise, that God, that if you didn't spare your own son, but you gave him up, so graciously give us all things. That's your heart. That's what you want. And so, God, we believe you'll provide even though you put us in really hard situations. God, I know there's really hard situations here. God, we believe, God, you do things in our lives to pull out our faith, to make it shown, to make it real. God, that you can approve it, that you can reward it. And so, God, we just choose to believe you in hard situations. When we choose to believe your promises, grant us faith. God, and help us live in light of those promises. And in that faith, God, may God, we're going to get to the end, and I pray you look down and you just say, God, you go, now I know that you fear me. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well,